This is Jim Lansford reading from the Bloomington Pantagraph for Monday, October 16th, 2017. Beginning with the front page, the headline is Retailer to Use Dick's Sporting Goods Space by Derek Bay. Normal. Town officials expect a new national retailer to use the former Dick's Sporting Goods Space, but only after they approve a sales tax rebate. The Normal City Council will consider foregoing up to $800,000 in future sales tax from stores at two connected shopping centers, including Bed, Bath & Beyond, Fresh Market, and Petco, in exchange for more than $4 million in private spending to improve those centers. The deal is with Phillips Edison & Company, a Cincinnati shopping center operator that owns both buildings. Company officials will attend Monday's council meeting at 7:30 p.m. on the fourth floor at Uptown Station to describe their plans, said City Manager Mark Peterson. They do have a tenant they have been talking with that they are confident, once they commit to the center improvements, this tenant will execute a lease agreement, said Peterson. I do know who they're talking about because we've researched that tenant and confirmed the sales projections Phillips Edison had given us are legitimate, but I'm not at liberty to say. Improvements include, according to town documents, 1. $1.5 million to reconfigure other spaces in the southern building, which could house two additional tenants after Office Depot and Shoe Carnival shrink their stores. $1 million to fix up the Dick's space. $650,000 each for roof and facade improvements. $333,000 for parking lot improvements and new signage. Peterson said work could start this fall and wrap up in 2 years. Maybe within the first year, the Dick's space will be occupied, he said. The other spaces, they certainly have candidates, but I don't think they've honed in on a specific candidate, so those could take longer. Phillips Edison would receive 0.5% of sales revenue from the three new tenants for 10 years. That totals $800,000 if those tenants generate $5.6 million in new sales tax revenue over that decade, as the town estimates. Peterson said the deal is similar to the pact that brought Portillo's to town, in the sense that the incentive depends on the new business becoming successful. The centers are across the street from Portillo's. The attraction of a sales tax rebate is the town will share with the developer new revenue they create, and if they don't, there's no expense, he said. Phillips Edison is also considering adding a pad site to the north end of the center, similar in size to a cell phone store or chain restaurant, Peterson said. He said it's possible Phillips Edison would do the project without town involvement, but that element makes it more attractive to company leadership that decides which shopping centers to spend on. Both buildings are pretty old, particularly the one on the south side, and could use some work for a number of infrastructure issues, said Peterson. He said that includes putting all the center on the same grade. Some of it is higher and must be reached by stairs. We're excited to see that space filled again. It's important retail space in a great location. I'm particularly pleased Phillips Edison is willing to make such a significant investment, Peterson said. The public participation element in the grand scheme is relatively small. It makes good sense for the town to proceed. We need to work hard to develop our retail base. The meeting was delayed to allow a 7 p.m. uptown tree lighting ceremony to kick off Illinois State University's homecoming week. Eastbound Beaufort Street to Uptown Circle will be closed to vehicle traffic from 6:30 to 8 p.m. That event will follow a 5:30 p.m. joint work session between the Council and Normal Planning Commission on the town's upcoming comprehensive plan. Now to page 2. State Watch. U of I kicks off $2.25 billion campaign. Champaign. The University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign has kicked off a $2.25 billion fundraising campaign. The News Gazette reports the campaign is the university's newest and most ambitious fundraising effort. Chancellor Robert Jones announced the goal at the end of a performance at the State Farm Center on Friday night. The event coincided with the U of I Foundation's annual donor weekend. Jones says the university already has raised $1.01 billion since a quiet fundraising phase started in 2014. The campaign's public phase will run through 2022. Jones says he knows the university will achieve its $2.25 billion goal, and together we will change the world. Other University of Illinois campuses have separate goals. U of I Springfield announced a $40 million goal last week. U of I Chicago will kick off its campaign October 27th. How time flies. 100 years ago, October 16th, 1917, the Chicago White Sox won the World Series. They beat the New York Giants 4-2 in six games. The fourth inning won Game 6 for the Sox. That's when they scored three of their four runs. 75 years ago, October 16th, 1942, the old printing press is being given up for scrap. This is the press Jesse Fell brought to Bloomington in 1837 to start the little paper that years later became the Daily Pantograph. The 1,360-pound press brought a scrap value of $9.52 at the junkyard. 50 years ago, October 16, 1967, Bloomington has hired three new meter maids, but a fourth vacancy is open. That's the supervisor position left by Doris Farmer, who quit in a controversy over parking for city workers. They'd park at meter spaces, but without feeding the meters or getting tickets. 25 years ago, October 16, 1992, ground was broken for the new north-south runway at the Bloomington Normal Airport. The beginning of this $22 million project caps off 20 years of planning. The new runway will be 6,400 feet long to accommodate larger planes than the old runway. And now, local news from page 3. Painting for Homecoming by Kevin Barlow. Normal. Caitlin Harvey had a very good reason for wearing a Missouri Tiger hooded sweatshirt in Uptown Normal Sunday afternoon. The Illinois State University junior from Minooka was one of about 40 volunteers who kicked off ISU's Homecoming Week by painting windows of local businesses around campus. "I didn't want to get any paint on any of my ISU clothes," she said, while painting the outside window at the Rock restaurant. "I've got a lot of ISU shirts, and look at this. I've already got white paint on this one, but see, it doesn't matter." The window painting is traditionally one of the first events for Homecoming Week and was organized by the Student Alumni Council. A couple of businesses want to get into the Homecoming Week spirit, and they sign up to get their windows painted, and it just helps everyone get into it a little bit more, said Julia Gramont, a graduate student who organized this year's effort. "Most of the locations were in Uptown Normal, but not all," she said. "We went to the Milner Park Zoo, for instance, and some places in Bloomington as well," she said. "We want the entire community involved, and we want to spread the word and let everyone know and to let everyone feel the homecoming spirit." ISU will face South Dakota at 2 p.m. at Hancock Stadium on Saturday for the homecoming game. ISU won four straight games to start the season and was ranked in the top 10 just 2 weeks ago. Since then, the Redbirds have dropped two straight, including a 42-7 decision at Southern Illinois on Saturday. "Keep the spirit up," said Bob Wickenhauser, an ISU alum who sat inside as Harvey, Emily Hopwood, and Nicole Edwards painted the windows at the Rock restaurant. I like the feeling of a homecoming week. It's a fun week, said Hopwood, an ISU sophomore. I just enjoy helping out, getting everyone into the spirit. A few blocks away, Caitlin Cook, Aaron Groves, Molly Lawless, and Colleen Kelly were painting the windows at the pub, too. We're just out having some fun, Cook said. We aren't very artistic, but that doesn't matter. We just want to get everyone ready for the week. On Monday, ISU President Larry Deitz and Normal Mayor Chris Koos will flip the switch for red and white lights on the trees in Uptown Normal. The big red marching machine and ISU cheerleaders will be among those on hand. The homecoming parade starts at 10 a.m. Saturday at University Street and College Avenue and ends at School Street near Locust Avenue. Tailgating on game days begins at 7 a.m. NPD respond to late night fight, possible gunshot. Normal. This is by Kevin Barlow. Normal police are investigating an early Sunday morning incident in which a shot may have been fired in an apartment after three females were seen fighting on social media. Police Chief Rick Blechner said the NPD was notified after midnight about a Facebook live stream in which two females appeared to be beating up another female in Normal. The investigation took a while to figure out if it was real and the location, because there was limited information as to where it might be, Blechner said. We had a little footage of the hallway, and there were folks who thought they knew where this was. Around 2 a.m., officers went to the 200 block of Parkinson Street, as they approached the door, they thought they heard a gunshot, Blechner said. At that point, they decided for safety reasons to bring the SWAT team and hostage negotiators in to contact the individuals inside, he said. We knew they were inside, but they were not responsive to us. During the investigation, one man was arrested for illegal possession of a firearm by a felon, Blechner said. That man is due in court Monday afternoon. The Pantograph does not name suspects in such cases until they are formally charged. There were no injuries, Blechner said, and officials were still trying to determine if a shot had, in fact, been fired. The investigation is continuing. Anyone with information is asked to contact the Normal Police Department at 309-454-9535. Lincoln College adds six trustees by the Pantograph staff. Lincoln. Three Lincoln College graduates are among six new trustees added to the school's board. Brenda Chapman Lima, Mill Valley, California, Rakesha Palon, Springfield, and Philip Stiles Jr., Mableton, Georgia, are the alumni named to the board. The other new members are the Reverend Glenn Shelton, Dr. Amir John Wahab, both of Lincoln, and James Glenn, Chicago. The new trustees joined the board on September 20th. The board names the college president and top administrators. Board committees oversee finances, development, planning, academic affairs, and student services. The college is in the midst of adding bachelor's degree programs and beginning major capital projects. The college recently announced the public phase of an $8 million capital campaign. President David Gerlach said, Lincoln College is on a voyage of rediscovery as we return to our traditional role of offering baccalaureate and master degree programs, just as the college did for more than a half a century after its founding. Chapman Lima, a 1982 graduate, is an Oscar-winning writer, animator, and director. She grew up in Beeson and began working for Walt Disney Feature Animation Studios shortly after receiving her bachelor's degree from the California Institute of Arts. She later joined Pixar Animation Studios. Phelan graduated in 1997 and is president and chief operating officers of Phelan Public Strategies. She previously served as press secretary to the Illinois Senate President John Cullerton and as a consultant to the Democratic Governors Association. Stiles, a 1987 graduate, co-leads Willis Towers Watson Diverse Solutions Network. He previously served as director of Strategic Alliance for AI Incorporation. Glenn is a Chicago litigation and trial attorney. He concentrates on employment and traditional labor litigation, compliance, training, and counseling. He has a bachelor's degree from Illinois Wesleyan University. Shelton has been pastor of Second Baptist Church in Lincoln since 1984. He co-founded the Martin Luther King Jr. Scholarship at Lincoln College. Wahab practices family medicine with Memorial Physician Services in Lincoln and has been on the medical staff at Abraham Lincoln Memorial Hospital since 1997. Illinois' 200th birthday gets a late start and a low budget. By John O'Connor, AP political writer. Springfield. Illinois is on the brink of its bicentennial bash, but political skirmishing that has battered the state could be blamed for late party planning, a comparatively low budget, and ultimately its contribution to future generations. The plans to celebrate Illinois' December 3, 1818 admission to the Union seems to pale compared with the two states that joined just prior. Indiana and Mississippi spent tens of millions of dollars and have flashy legacy projects to show off. The Prairie State, just 7 weeks from kickoff of its year-long festivities, is aiming to raise a modest $4 million to $6 million. Stuart Lane, executive director of the Illinois Bicentennial, acknowledges planning got a belated start with his appointment just a year ago. While he said significant corporate and other donors are stepping up, he would not say how much has been raised. But he dismissed the idea that 2 years of infighting in the 21st state between Republican Governor Bruce Rauner, who appointed him, and Democrats, who control the General Assembly over a budget that is billions in the red, has hamstrung the project. He said he's taken two things from virtually every conversation he's had about the Illinois celebration. People want us to use the bicentennial as a platform to change the conversation about the state of Illinois, to talk about all the great things that Illinois has contributed to society, Lane said in a speech in Springfield this month. The second is pride. People are proud to be from this state. That has become our mantra. There are plans for exhibits, a school curriculum, United Center ceremony honoring 200 Illinoisans in arts, entertainment, sports, agriculture, and business, and more. But it's hard not to notice what's been done elsewhere. Raising $55 million by leasing unused state-owned cell tower space, Indiana, which celebrated its bicentennial last December, built a state archives building, a state house lawn bicentennial plaza, a state library learning center, and an inn at a state park. In Mississippi, years of planning went into the celebration, along with over $100 million, including $90 million from taxpayers, for construction of the Museum of Mississippi History and Mississippi Civil Rights Museum in downtown Jackson. Veteran at U of I, active in groups. Paul Wood, the Champaign News Gazette. Paxton, in Ramadi, Iraq. As part of the 2007 surge, Eric Swenson was on a base that was attacked 3 or 4 times a day, whether it was mortars, rocket-propelled grenades, or sniper fire. He downplays the danger he was in, saying that the infantry serving outside the base faced far worse, with improvised explosive devices made by Al-Qaeda, whose Ramadi members went on to become the core of ISIS in the area, later operating out of Syria. After earning 2 degrees at the University of Illinois, Swenson, 30, is back on the Urbana campus in the College of Business for Illinois Business Consulting. While earning his degrees, he was active in student veteran organizations. He enlisted in the Army in his junior year of high school, then went to boot camp shortly after his graduation in 2005 from Princeton High School. "I came from a family of modest means," he said. "I thought this could be a way to make a career. Looking back, it was one of the wisest moves I could have made. It wasn't just a career, it was a family tradition. Both my grandfather served and my uncle was in Vietnam. My family had soldiers on both sides of the Revolutionary War. I was also motivated by 9/11 to serve our country." And now, local state news. Atlanta to host dinner programs by the Pantograph staff. Atlanta. The Atlanta Public Library and Museum will host a series of Friday evening dinner programs at the Palms Grill Cafe from November through March. Local speakers will present free after-dinner programs on a range of topics. Dinner begins at 5:30 p.m., followed at 7 p.m. by the program. Reservations are required and limited to about 50 people. The cafe will feature a set of dinner specials with desserts for each program. Dinners cost $10 to $15 per person. Phone 217-648-5077 to make a reservation. Programs include November 3rd, Generosity, the story of Logan County during the Great War, 1917 to 1919. Speaker Bill Donath, Logan County Genealogical and Historical Society. The Atlanta Museum will feature displays of artifacts from its World War I collection. November 17th, Till We Meet Again, Music from the Great War. Musicians Dale Evans and Hannah Kerrigan on guitar and a banjo-lele. Includes display of song sheets from the period and original 78 RPM recordings on a portable Victrola. December 1st, Restoring the Governor's Mansions. Speaker Justin Blandford, Superintendent of State Historic Sites in Springfield for the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. December 15th, Holiday Music by the Music Makers Chime Choir from St. John's United Church of Christ, Lincoln. January 12th, Music and Stories with Danny Tackett, retired newspaper editor and author. January 26th, The Curious History of General Santa Anna's Leg in Atlanta, Illinois. Speaker Bill Lear, curator, Illinois State Military Museum, Springfield. February 9th, Riding the Interurban, The Story of the Illinois Traction Railroad. Speaker Dale Jenkins, Illinois Traction Society. February 23rd, Duncan Manor, A Story of Historic Preservation Through Community Involvement. Speakers David and Randy Howell, owners of Duncan Manor, Towanda. March 9th, The Old 3i. Speaker Bill Kemp, librarian, McLean County Museum of History, Bloomington, on Illinois, Indiana, Iowa Baseball League. March 23rd, Saving Sprague Super Service, a Route 66 icon. Speaker Terry Ryburn, who worked to restore the service station. Veterans Corner. Question: I'm considering applying for admission to an Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs Veterans Nursing Home. I understand there's usually a waiting period before admission. How do I apply for admission, and how long of a wait should I expect? Answer: waiting times vary at the IDVA homes in Quincy, Anna, LaSalle, and Mantino. Waiting times also vary depending on the level of care that the veteran has upon admission. Domiciliary care units at the Quincy home are independent living units, and there is little or no waiting time to gain admission. At Anna, the waiting time is about 7 weeks. The waiting time for skilled nursing units at Anna is 13 weeks. LaSalle, 0 weeks, Mantino, 12 weeks, and Quincy, 4 weeks. Contact IDVA representative Chris Grant at the National Guard Armory on South Main Street in Bloomington. Question. I am in receipt of service-connected disability and neurological and mental health issues, including mobility and balance. Does the VA provide service dogs to assist a veteran like me? How do I get more information about the service dogs and the VA? Service dogs, answer, service dogs have been an important part of VA services to veterans with a variety of problems, including mental health issues, blindness, balance, and mobility. The VA refers veterans to accredited service dog organizations. The VA Mental Health Mobility Service Dog Initiative authorizes veterinary health insurance benefit for service dogs of veterans with chronic mobility limitations associated with a mental health disorder. VA provides the veterinary health insurance benefit to eligible veterans with service dogs obtained from certified service dog training organizations when it is determined that a trained service dog is the optimal means for the veteran to manage the impairment and live independently. Contact the VA Prosthetics and Sensory Aids section at your VA healthcare facility for more information. The VA does not pay for boarding, grooming, food, or any other routine expense associated with owning a dog. Free dental clinics. Hershey Plaza Dental Center will conduct a free dentistry day to give back to the community. The event will be 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. November 11th at Hershey Plaza Dental Center, 507 North Hershey Drive, Suite D, Bloomington. Cleaning, filling, or extraction services will be provided. Patients will be accepted on a first-come, first-served basis. Call 309-664-2288. Bloomington Modern Dentistry will have a free dental clinic on November 11th at its office, 2817 Reed Road, Bloomington. Cleaning and some restorative services based on the doctor's recommendation will be offered. Appointments can be made at www.illinoisdentistsalute.org or by calling 309-662-5921. Did you know? For nearly 2.5 centuries, the U.S. Navy has had a storied history and proven itself in war and peacetime. The Navy was established on October 13, 1775, when the Continental Congress hoped that a small fleet of privateers could attack British commerce and offset British sea power during our Revolution. 2 years after the war, Congress sold off the last ship of the Continental Navy, the frigate Alliance. However, in March 1794, Congress responded to increased possibilities of attacks by European powers and pirates by calling for the construction of a half dozen frigates. Congratulations to all those brave men and women who have served in our Navy, protecting our country and our way of life. On duty, U.S. Air Force, William Rock, Lincoln. U.S. Air Force Colonel William A. Rock has been decorated with a Meritorious Service Medal as he relinquished command of the 307 Mission Support Group, Barksdale Air Force Base, Louisiana. Brandon Allen. Dwight, U.S. Air Force Airman Brandon L. Allen, son of Robert R. and Kevin Allen of Dwight, graduated from basic military training at Joint Base San Antonio-Lackland, San Antonio, Texas. Hunter Schuerman. Danvers, U.S. Navy Seaman Hunter Schuerman, son of Mick and Melody Schuerman of Danvers, completed basic training at Rue Creek Training Command, Great Lakes. A break now. Reading from the Daily Pantograph of Monday, October 16th. This will be finished later.